We're delighted to have you with us today. Among our number, we have with us today, brother and sister Claude Flynn, recently moved into our area, and we're delighted to have them with us. Many of you may know them from the Auburn area, but if you would get to know them and meet them, we're delighted to have them with us today. Today is Memorial Day, and typically on Memorial Day, we celebrate today and also Veterans Day in different ways. On Memorial Day, we honor our servicemen and women and our first responders, but in particular on Memorial Day, this is the day when we honor and remember those who gave their life in service to our country. As is stated in the country song, all gave some and some gave all. All gave some refers to all of those who served in any way whatsoever. And some gave all is what Memorial Day is all about. It's in regard to those who have given their lives for our country. We're going to do this in stages this morning, as we typically do. But on Memorial Day, I'd like to ask this. If you have had a loved one to give their life in service to our country, we'd like for you to stand. Very few, sometimes a number may be more in the second service. If you have and are currently serving our country, we'd like for you to stand, either military or first responders. Okay, we want to thank you for your service. Every individual who joins the military takes an oath. It's an oath of office that they place their allegiance to, and that oath is this. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. Every part, the first part of that oath, is with regard to the Constitution. And that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to the regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God. We are described as soldiers of Christ. There is, in fact, a definition in the Oxford Concise Dictionary of a soldier of Christ. And the single line definition that is given for a soldier of Christ in that dictionary is an active or proselytizing Christian, one that is actively involved in being a Christian and in sharing God's word with others. I want you to keep that definition in mind. Just as a good soldier takes an oath of office, so do we. What's our oath? What is the oath of a Christian? I think the closest thing we can come to the statement of an oath with regard to a Christian is exactly what occurs when we are baptized into Christ. And it's stated by the Apostle Paul in these words, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. In the book of, in regard to the soldier, we also have a constitution. Our constitution is the Word of God. It is the very things that God has said. And I want you to open your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1 through 7. And I want us to look at what Paul writes to the young man Timothy. And I want us to read the words first, and we're going to stop after the very first introduction, and we're going to make some comments with regard to what Paul has just said and written to Timothy. He says, starting in verse 1, you then, my son, And he's about to give three imperatives. He's about to give three commands. And then following the three commands, he will illustrate them and illustrate how it's done. The first imperative is this one. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Understanding the implication of that grace to your own life and understanding the implication of that grace in the lives of others, and especially in the lives of others who've sinned against you. And especially, though, that grace in regard to your life as you come to Christ and you live for Him. The second imperative. All the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be able to teach others. Entrust. Be strong. Entrust what you've heard to others so that they can be able to teach others as well. And then the third imperative. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Those are the three imperatives that the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, ending with the idea of being a good soldier of Christ, which would involve every single one of those things. I want you to take your Bibles, and we just want to turn backwards to 1 Timothy. We're not going to read all of 1 Timothy, but I want to look at four verses, two of which are in 1 Timothy, and the last two in 2 Timothy, to look at a summary of what Paul has already written to Paul that tie in with these three imperatives that he's giving to Timothy and telling Timothy how to live. The first one is in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. And Paul there writes to Timothy and says this to him. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching, devoting yourself to the Word of God, to reading it publicly, reading it to others, teaching it, explaining it, and helping others come to an understanding of its sense and an understanding of what it means and what it's talking about. And then in chapter 6 and verse 11, still in 1 Timothy, Paul will write this with regard to what he wants Timothy to be doing. But you, man of God, flee from all this. He's talking about those who would be moved away from the faith because of their pursuit of riches and other things in this world. And he tells Timothy, you flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And then in chapter 2, surrounding these verses that Paul has just given to Timothy, he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, and he says, so do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the sake of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of what Jesus has said. Don't be ashamed of his instructions. Don't be ashamed of what others might think about you by holding to what Jesus says. Instead, hold fast to those things. And the last two, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, he reminds Timothy of his upbringing. He reminds Timothy of what's always been true about him and what Paul wants to remain true about him. And so in chapter 3, starting with verse 14, he writes this, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the last one, chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and with careful instruction. So we go back to chapter 2. We go back and look at the three imperatives. And the three imperatives again are: be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Know what he's done for you. Know what he's done for every human being in the world. Know what he's done for your enemies. Know what he's done for your friends. Know what he's done for your family. Know what he's done for you. Be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you've heard from me, whatever you've learned from Scripture, entrust that to others who'll be able to teach others as well. And you, thirdly, get ready to suffer. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they honored and served me, they will honor the words that you preach and the words that you teach. But we are called into this world to be faithful to Jesus, no matter what it costs. We are called into this world to be faithful to Jesus and to serve him. From these three imperatives, the Apostle Paul gives three examples. I want you to read with me the rest of the reading and look at the examples. The first one is the one that bears the title and the reason for the lesson, because of today being Memorial Day. And he describes this: join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ. And then he describes the life of the soldier. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs. He knows his focus. He knows his duty. He knows his responsibility. So he does not get distracted from the worldly things or things that he might enjoy doing in the world that would take him away from being what he's supposed to be doing as a soldier. And Paul is telling Timothy to be the same way with regard to your life in Christ. But instead of being entangled with all the affairs of the world and everything else that's going on, the soldier rather tries to please his commanding officer. And his commanding officer here is literally the one that enlisted him. And the one that enlisted us is Christ Jesus. And those individuals who are soldiers, Paul uses as his first example of depicting the life that he wants Timothy to live. Think about it. Who better than a soldier goes where he doesn't want to go, does what he does not want to do, says what he does not want to say, becomes what he never thought he would become, and at times may not want to become it? All of those things are typical of the soldier who follows the orders of the one who enlisted him, even if it means going where I don't want to go, saying what I don't want to say, doing what I don't want to do. And Paul understands that about the life of a soldier, and he understands that about his own life in regard to following Christ, and he understands it will be exactly that way with Timothy. And then the second illustration, he uses an athlete, and he says this: similarly, or in the same way, in the same manner, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. Two things could be identified by Paul in making that statement. One would be the obvious one. You're not going to win if you're caught cheating. You're not going to win or being given the victor's crown if you're caught doing things contrary to the rules of the competition that you're involved in. You'll be punished for it. And therefore, whenever we compete as an athlete, we compete according to the rules. But there's a second idea that may be closer to what Paul has in mind, even though that first one is not to be ignored. We must be following the very will of God and the very will of Christ. But the other one is that with regard to winning the crown, there has to be a great deal of training. I've never ran a marathon, but we've got individuals in our congregation who have, and every one of them have expressed, whenever we've had conversations together, what they went through in order to get ready to run that marathon. And it doesn't take them very long to say, I'm glad I did it, I'm glad I accomplished it, but I don't intend to do it again because of all that it took and all of the cost that was involved in getting ready to run that marathon. But if you want to win the crown, there's a price to pay. If you want to win the crown, there's preparation to be made. If you want to win the crown, there's training to be done. If you want to win the crown, there's a particular level of shape and physical strength you must attain, or you will not win the crown. And here the Apostle Paul is encouraging Timothy to be like the athlete. Sacrifice the things you need to sacrifice in order to put him first. Do the things that you need to do to train yourself to follow him. Bring yourself under control and submission to him in order to be and to become what he wants you to be. That's the second imperative that Paul gives to Timothy. The third one is this one. And the third one, he says this: the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. The hardworking farmer. I was grandson of a sharecropper and grandson of another man who was a farmer. And sometimes my parents decided it was a good idea for me to spend some of my summer working with those farmers to see what that was like. It was always enjoyable to some degree, and to some degree, it wasn't any fun at all. But the one thing that you learn about farmers is their work is never done. No matter how long it may take you to clean all the weeds out of a field, when you get done, they're there again. And you have to start all over. Everything has to be done in a proper time. Everything has to be done in a proper season, or you won't have a crop. And you have to wait. You can't do whatever you want to do. You have to do what needs to be done. You can't spend your time just going wherever you want to go, because there's things that have to be taken care of at the farm, and you have to work with it. And those individuals who work with the farm understand the importance of priority and doing what needs to be done and waiting patiently for the crop to come in. I found a big green tomato on one of my plants. I'm excited, but I didn't pick it. I didn't pull it. I have a little girl who lives next door that if she sees it, she'll pull it. But if we pull it, nobody's going to enjoy it. Nobody's going to eat it. You wait. You wait patiently, and you keep working with the plants until they grow. Then Paul writes this to close it out. Reflect on what I'm saying. Think about life from the standpoint of the soldier, the standpoint of the farmer, and from the standpoint of the athlete. Think about life, what they're going through, and remember, you're doing the same thing, but your focus is on Christ. Not on the things of this world, but your focus is on Christ. So if you'll reflect on the things that I'm telling you, then you will be given insight into how you need to live in order to be faithful to Christ. We honor our soldiers today, especially those, or tomorrow, especially those who gave their life. We honor them this weekend. But let's all strive to live as God's faithful soldiers, his faithful, enduring athletes, his faithful, enduring, hardworking farmers, to bring forth the fruit Christ would have us to produce. Hope you enjoy your weekend, and I hope we all strive to live as Christ would have us to live. There may be some here this morning who are ready to become a Christian, come home to Christ, or desire to have a prayer with one of our elders. If you have any need whatsoever that we can help you with, if you would like to become a Christian or to come home to Christ, we want to offer you as invitation as together we stand and as we sing.